Okay, let's pray. Father, we pray now as we look into your word, would you help us, even as we go through familiar themes and subtopics, would you speak to us personally, to begin to pay attention to the areas of our lives so that we will continue to work towards a good ending, work towards finishing well in this life for your glory. And we ask for your help, Holy Spirit, to unpack this individually for each of us as we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Several months ago, I was just again wrestling with what to plan for the theme and the topic. All right. So this phrase, finishing well, it's a common phrase, to finish well. So I asked various people, WhatsApp me, text me, give me another synonym for finishing well. All right. And from the long list of different words, my wife says, good ending, good ending. So that stuck with me. So I chose this topic, towards a good ending. Towards a good ending. So for all of us, we need to adjust our lives, we need to realign, we need to pay attention towards a good ending. So the word towards suggests a journey, we have not arrived, we may be doing very well now, and we must continue to do well, alright, so that we continue towards a good ending. If you watch movies, you want to see a good ending. Alright, you see Tarzan fighting with the lion, the tiger, and then how he saved Jane, and then in the end, it was a good ending, Tarzan and Jane got together. Good ending. You see Lone Ranger and Tonto, the Red Indians were chasing them, alright, and then they were cornered, there were mountains, there was no way out. And then all of a sudden, there was this little passageway in the midst of the mountains, and they made the way of escape. Good ending. The good man killed the bad man, you know, and so on and so forth. You go for a meal, you want to have a good ending, you must have sweets, you must have dessert. Then it's a good ending. A meal without a dessert, if possible, double dessert or triple dessert will be a good ending. Alright? That's my philosophy of life. Good ending, you want cell group meetings. I was with a group of men last Friday, and I thought I would just go there. It was a QAA session, it was supposed to be heads off, no titles, no SP. Alright, they can ask any question they want. Be as frank and open as possible, from sex life to whatever life, you know. Oops, I'm not supposed to say that. But then there was a good ending. There was great dessert, alright? So a good ending is very important in everything that we do. In our cell group meetings, in our outings, in our family, good ending. How does a believer last the long haul? For some of us, it's 90 over years. For some of us, it's 80 over years. Regardless of the number of years, we need to have a good ending to this life. It is an end goal, but the journey is as important as the finishing. And we must pay attention to the journey. I crafted this word, we must intentionally direct our lives. Intentionally direct your life for a good ending. It has to be intentional. The Holy Spirit is very gentle. From time to time, He will lay a finger on this area of our lives. From time to time, He laid on another area of our marriage. From time to time, an area of our character. At some point of time, in the area of our finances. So there are so many issues that can derail us. So many issues that can stumble us. And last Friday, I did this family, this devotion with the staff. And now I'm just going through the book of James with them, word upon word, line upon line, verse by verse, exegesis, exponential. And it became to the part about falling into temptation and sin. So I thought, we're going to go out. No, we pause. Right. So I gave them time to reflect, what is it that causes us to fall into sin, and so on and so forth. Okay, intentionally direct your life for a good ending. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Quit living as if all we have is a passport to heaven. Wow, hang up, we made it. No, that is very, very poor. That is very, very weak. And as BBTians, as disciples of the Lord, we must live purposefully. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he was just saying he's getting bored in his job. There is very little challenge, very little motivation. Very good salary, good environment, people will say work-life balance and all that. But if at a young age you lack challenge, you lack motivation, you're not going to have a good ending. You're going to drift and you're going to deteriorate. Set God-sized goals. And don't compartmentalize our lives as if just this is our work life and this is just something like, no, the whole of our lives. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-given passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Go after a dream. Pursue something bigger than ourselves. Like knowing God. Like worship. and so on and so forth. We know that as we look at sports, alright, games are not won on game day alone. Games, the means competition sports are won in the weight room where you must exercise. Tiger Woods is so good because after every competition, he's in the gym with his coach. On the sixth hole, he missed it by 3 yards in American terms. Alright, this part of his muscle needs to be worked on, 100 pound weight, and he will work at it for 2,000 times or whatever, something like that. It's one in the weight room, it's one in the film room. What is the film room? Where, let's say in sports, in soccer or basketball, you analyze the opposition team. Every 4 years you got World Cup. Alright, you analyze the opposition team, you analyze your own team. You are standing in the wrong place. You are not tackling their good players. You are not breaking their legs. You are not, you know, something like that. In the film room, where they play it over and over again. Those of us who are teachers, in classes, those of us who give speeches or who preach, you must look at the film. I remember years back in the early 80s, there is this Kodak presentation course where after you have given your pitch or after you led in worship or whatever, you replay the whole video. Oh, I mean, you look like that, you sounded like that, or you lost your voice or whatever, like our friend. All right, what he should have said, what he should not have said. Then you are given a chance to re-script it again and do it again. Script it and do it again. Script it and do it again. In the film room. The film room is when you are being videoed and you practice and you practice and you practice and you practice for excellence. It's in the locker room. Good ending requires discipline. Discipline for all of us. We all must have discipline. Coaching, that means receiving feedback, vision, sweat, tears, and sometimes blood. This church is what it is because of blood, sweat, and tears. Nothing happens by chance. You are where you are in your career, in your marriage, in your family, blood, sweat, and tears. The question today and in this, today and next weekend is, are you going to just be satisfied, contented with the state of affairs in your marriage, in your family, in your work, in your finances, with your children? Or are there areas where you're going to lay hold of God and make a change for the better? Over the last 2-3 weeks, we're just talking about some families, some marriages, some young people, areas in their life. And the question I ask is, are you going to be contented, or are you just going to let it be, or are you going to make changes? And that's the intent of this message. There's nothing thundering new in this message. And like what Peter says in his epistle, Peter says he wrote to remind them again. And I'm speaking and preaching this 2 weekends. Simple message to remind us. I want us to look at this video. This is a video of a senior pastor. It's called Pastor Ed, E-D. And on the day of his retirement, he was completely lost. And take the principles from this video for those of us who are retiring at 50, 55, 60, 65, and you'll be suddenly lost. Because you're used to the title, you're used to the busyness, and all of a sudden it was a collapse, which was what happened to him. All right, and it is real. You hear his voice, you read, it's like, oh, so slow, all right? So watch the video, all right?
Everything I did as a pastor, I felt I was doing what God called me to do. I knew that ALS would...
I think it's Pastor Ed, not just another guy.
And I knew ultimately it would take my voice. So I came back that weekend and announced I was quitting. It felt like all of a sudden life had come to an end. Life was over. It's going from 100 miles an hour to zero overnight. I had a cell phone, and I kept saying, I'm going to go throw it in the Grand River, because it rings constantly. And the day after, it didn't ring all day. And I ended up calling Lorna to have her call me to make sure it worked. It worked, but nobody called. when you're not needed, you lose part of your purpose in life. I never thought that my speaking and writing and living would come to an end. Once I realized it's getting close to the end, then you begin to realize how fragile life is, and you only do the things that are important. You would think that influencing thousands is more important than influencing one. But I'm gradually learning that influence one-on-one is way more important. ALS forced me into a situation where I grew in understanding what it meant to obey Jesus. It took me quite a while to find an alternative purpose. But the good news is, out there is a purpose for everyone. And when you arrive there, you'll know it.
Okay, I mean, he was waiting for his phone to ring the day after he retired. All right, a quick reminder for many of us near retirement, and I'm very glad for our senior citizens ministry, because now I've got to bring my father on another day to keep him occupied. And you come on Mondays or Wednesday afternoons, the whole hall one is packed. 4-table tennis table, a group of 20 men around the piano singing and croaking away. 12 to 14 tables of people playing Rami O, right, and so forth. Active aging, okay, that's what we want. All right, I'm going to talk about five qualities to develop, five areas in our lives. The things about the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not that we know all that. But what can we do now in this life? If we're as young as in our low 20s to our late 60s or 70s, today I'm going to talk about restedness, to develop restedness, Christ-likeness. We're going to go through all these five categories. And then, and resilience, how to build resilience, to build capacity. Next week, I'm going to talk about building resourcefulness, building capital in our life, building capital, building goodwill, building relationships, our connections. And finally, I'm going to talk about renewal, revival, all right? That we must keep on changing. We must keep on growing and changing. All these five qualities, okay? I'll cover the first two today. The first quality, restedness. Restedness comes as we develop Christ-likeness. And I'm not suggesting Christ-likeness just as a character to be aiming for. No, I'm talking about living the Christ life. The Christ life, okay? So, firstly, restedness comes when we connect with God and we are aware of His presence. Restedness is the state of being calm, cool, collected, composed, centered in Christ. Restedness means that there is a storm around us, but we are centered in God. We don't gabra, we don't panic. Momentarily, we may, because of the urgency of the situation, but there is a peace. There is a peace that envelopes us. There is a calmness that God is with us. And therefore, we do not react like the people who do not know God. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh, the Lord is everlasting strength, is everlasting peace. This is fixing our minds on Father God, the Sovereign God, the Ancient of Days, who determines times and seasons, who sets up prime ministers and presidents, who direct the courses of kings and rulers, who sits enthroned. And he said he laughs at the nations. Why do the nations rage? We look at the things happening in the world. Perilous times. Terrorism. The breakdown of the family unit. People are panicking about this coming elections in the US. Is it Trump or Hillary? Hillary or Trump? Trump or Hillary? Alright. Is there a third option? People are looking at Brexit. People are still reeling from the economic consequences of all these things. But here is the promise of God. We are rested when we connect with God and aware of His presence. So just now was to fix our eyes on the sovereign Father God. Now we have to day by day be spiritually minded. Romans 8:6. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This word life is Zoe life. It is God's life. It is spiritual life. And the word peace here is Irene, which means our wholesome well-being. Why the mind? Because the mind is the gateway to our soul, and our soul affects our behavior and our actions. Another verse is Psalm 16, verse 8. Here we set the Lord always before me. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I shall not be shaken. I've set the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Restedness comes when we connect with God and are aware of His presence. It's possible to be consciously aware 24/7, 365. Connecting with God all the time. And when we do that, Psalms 91 verse 1 and 2, He says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, we will abide with Him, we rest with Him. I will say of the Lord, God, You are my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. This is the believer who can declare. This is the proclamation of our total dependency on God. In God I will trust. Lord, You are my refuge. You are my fortress from the storms of life, from the winds of life that blows harshly. But Lord, You are my refuge. Total dependence on Him. Secondly, restedness comes in our discipleship journey as we develop the character of Christ in us. You see, in Romans 8:29, the Father knew and He predestined for us to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know what is this all about? It is not just growing in our personal character. It is to look to Jesus, the Son of Man, alright? Now backtrack. Jesus, we know, is fully God, fully man. The Son of God, He became the Son of Man. When He became the Son of Man, He put aside His divine powers. We know that from Philippians 2. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He took on the form of a man, the form of a servant, and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So that as men, like you and me, the only one difference, He was without sin. We are sinners. There's only one difference. But in every way, He is flesh and blood like you and me. So that He can empathize with us. So that He understands our feelings. He understands our infirmities. He understands the struggles and pain of life. He understood what it means to be rejected, to be wounded, to be beaten. And here is the Father saying, we need to be conformed to His image because here is Jesus, the Son of Man, the model. The model for victorious living. The model to live a life that is pleasing to the Father. The model of a life that overcomes. The model of a life that will have a good finish, a good ending, that will finish well. So Jesus, the Son of Man, filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, as we have learned, is to surrender our lives totally to God. This is the life that you and I are supposed to live. This is the life that you and I can live by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the enabling of the Holy Spirit, by the grace that God gives to us by the Holy Spirit. So this is a life that is livable, that we can all attain to. And this is the journey we are embarking. So when we talk about our discipleship journey, it is the journey to live the Christ life. Which is why Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. We live by faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So how do we live our Christian life? Who is our model? The model is Jesus, the Son of Man, not the Son of God. The model is Jesus, the Son of Man, fully man, flesh and blood, like you and I. Which is why you have all the verses in Hebrews. He was tempted in every way. He was weak. He wept. He cried. He was tired. And He understands every of our feelings. Matthew 11:28-30, and therefore Jesus says, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Therefore, we can learn from him. How do we learn from him? The way he walked for the 33 and a half years on earth. How do we can learn from him? From the word of God. And one of the ways he says that he always does the Father's will. John 5:19. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. That means Jesus lived in total dependency on Father God. And in the same way, he wants us to live in total dependency on God. Why? Because God knows everything. Why? Because God is limitless, we are limited. Why? Because God is the creator, we are the created. Why? Because he is omniscient. Every factor, every variable, he knows. We are limited in our understanding. Therefore, one of the questions that was posed to me when they were trying to video me for the anniversary weekend, what is one or two regrets or one or two mistakes? I said I made many mistakes. But the thing is, I must quickly have self-awareness, pick it up and go. And I said that many of the things I've learned in the last 10, 15 years, I wish I've learned earlier in my Christian life, in my early 20s. Then you will avoid those mistakes. And one of the things is to understand the difference between walking with God in total dependency on him and trying to do both. That means walking with one leg depending on myself and the world and one leg with him. How big? Because there was a reluctance, there was a fear, an inhibition to totally surrender to God. If I totally surrender to God, it means I got no more options. When you totally surrender to God, you totally surrender to God. And you know what? In the last 20 years, I understand this is the best option. This is the best option. A life totally surrendered to God. And this is a struggle all of us will go through. It's a struggle because the I, me, myself wants independence. I, me, and myself wants some control. Some control over our money, some control over our time, some control over the way we manage relationships, some control of the outcomes of meetings. We want some control. But are we prepared to let go and let God have all the control? So nowadays when questions are posed to me, I say let go. Do all you can, plan all you can, prepare all you can, let go. And let God and go with the flow. The illustration of going through the traffic light. Green light all the way from my home to church, 5 minutes. If there's red light at every junction, it can take as long as almost 15 minutes plus the traffic. Go with the flow. No longer frustrated at every traffic light junction. Largely no longer being impatient and so forth. Going with the flow. And this is the best option. In relationships we are frustrated with, in situations where we seemingly don't have a direct input, when somebody else wants to throw his 2 cents worth, the other person throws his $2 worth, and so forth, and then you wait and see. Alright? What do? You intercede and pray. That's a pray for the salvation of our loved ones. Wish we learned it earlier. But at the end of the day, God is in total control. But we need to pray and persevere for the salvation of our loved ones. The Lord has given us the keys to bind the strong men. To pray strategically, to pray tactically. But remember what I shared last week. That one plus engaging your loved one. You cannot see them once in 2 years and want to engage them and share the gospel. You must engage them on a regular basis. Alright? Well, back to the message. So, restlessness comes. Where is the Father's will? The Father's will is in the Word of God. John 17:17. Your Word is truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will unpack the Word of God as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. This means we must submit to the authority of Scriptures. Surrender means we obey. It's a simple word is obey. So for example, for young people in courtship, it says, do not be unequally yoked. And for the guys, you're contemplating April, May and June. And April is an unbelieving girl, no matter how nice she is. You do not factor her as a potential partner in life. Because that will be unequally yoked. You see, it's obedience. The Bible says, do not have dishonest scales. That means with certain people, you give more likes. You are more likes. But so for other people, you are stricter. Or especially in your dealings with people. Do not have dishonest scales. Or do not take revenge. Do not keep a record of wrongs. Or can you rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Sometimes we can, that because we are so selfish, we cannot rejoice with those who succeeded. Oh, that child, they got in PSLE, they got 271, and your child got 222 or whatever. You cannot rejoice with those who rejoice because you, you know, all right, you compare. And in this church, we learn comparison is the devil's snare. Never, never compare. Why? In the first place, you are different. In the first place, God has made us fearfully and wonderfully. All right? This means also that we submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We submit to the authority of Scriptures, because Scriptures gives us the principles. But the Holy Spirit gives us the details. The Holy Spirit gives us the details. Who should you marry? Should you apply for this job? You got two offers. Should you take job A or job B? Those of us who have taken our CPF, you're 55 and above, all right? The question is, should you downgrade from your condominium to a 5-room HDB flat? Or you've got a 5-room HDB flat, do you downgrade to a 3-room or a 4-room and keep the rest as disposable income to live for the remaining 30 years? For those who are up and coming in your career, in your late 20s, in your 30s, and your early 40s, you're having good income and you're doing very well. All right, your room is a little cramped, your children are growing up as teenagers, big buffaloes and so forth, you need more room. And you have the means, shall you upgrade? Sell off your 4-room HDB flat, buy a private condominium or whatever. The details of all these decisions to be made is given by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible talks about walking by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. The principles from the Word of God, the details from the Holy Spirit. That's just for me, the struggle constantly in planning for the pulpit. I mean, it's easier to be invited and given a topic and I'll just preach on it. But the tough part is how to plan for the theme and then the four subtopics. I showed it to the elders, the pastors. Not everybody responded. All busy. Tough. In the past, would be very monkey. How could each other do it? But now, okay. Well, they're all busy. Everybody limited bandwidth. Some people go on holiday now, you know, and so on and so forth. So what do you do? All right. I got to go back to the drawing board. And someone's smiling at me says, no, we must do more book study, more exegesis. Okay, you take two, okay. That kind of thing. All right. So, what do you do? All right. So you listen to the Holy Spirit. So resident in God, this comes the promise. Always lead us in victory. 2 Corinthians 2:14. We mentioned many a times, thanks be to God who always, mark the word always leads us in triumph in Christ. We will triumph. It means that if there are problems, there are obstacles, we will overcome. We will overcome. Okay? And not only in victory, Romans 5:17 tells us that we have the gift of righteousness and we learn to tap and assess the abundance of grace. We will reign in life. We will be the head, not the tail. We'll be on top and not below. And Ephesians 2:6 says that we sit with Christ in the heavenly realms. God wants all of us to be so blessed, overflowingly blessed. For what? Number one, so that He would have the glory. Matthew 5:16. It was so that we will be a blessing to others. The blessings that God gives us is to flow in us, through us, and out of us to the people we come into contact with in our daily lives. And therefore, as we abide and remain in Him, we will bear fruit. We will bear much fruit. John 15:5. He who abides in me, who he rests in me, will bear much fruit. Fruitfulness will be a natural outcome. You don't struggle to produce fruit. Fruitfulness will be a natural outcome, not only in our character, but in our good works. So you look at our church, I look at cell groups, I look at the classes and the tribes. Over the last, especially the last 5-7 years, very little struggle. You look at people and doing the blessing campaign in February this year. We had 38,000 acts of blessing. We're going to do the same for this coming Chinese New Year and for a month in February in 2017. We look at the enrollment for church camp. Within a month, pop, we have got 1,100 people going for church camp. It's so easy to mobilize. It's so easy. Fruitfulness is a result of reaping what has been sown. So what have we been sowing? What have we been emphasizing? The discipleship journey. We are emphasizing leadership development. We are emphasizing equipping, training. We are emphasizing mentoring. As a church, we pastor everybody. All right, everybody who wants to be pastored and shepherded, we pastor everybody. You need prayer. You come to the front. You need a pastor to visit you. Make an appointment. All right, we are here to pastor everybody. And if you want to equip as many people as possible, so as many of you who have bandwidth, you have time and energy, we want to equip you and train you up, all right, to be an effective priest and king. We equip as many as possible. And for those of us who have some more capacity, mentor. Mentor, find the selected ones to mentor and speak into their lives and build their lives. There'll be fruitfulness. So that is restedness. Restedness comes from our ongoing relationship with God. The second R we're going to talk about developing is resilience. And we ask the question, what is resilience? Okay, in the definition from the dictionary, number one, resilience is the power or ability to return to the original form, to the original position, after being bent, compressed, stretched, elasticity. It's like your trampoline. When you first bought it from LB Sports, all right, you put at home, you jump. Oh, wow, the spring is very taut, very strong. The spring will bounce back to its original form. Okay, but after 10 years, all right, or your Siemens bed, you slept on the Siemens bed for 20 years. After a while, they'll find that the bed was sagged because the spring of the bed is no longer that resilient after much wear and tear. All right, so resilience is coming back to its original form. You can bounce back. The other definition is the ability to recover readily from illness, from depression, from adversity, or the like, is a buoyancy. You travel for business, you go to Africa, you go to Kenya for 10 days, and you come back and you say you will not have jet lag, you want to bounce back, resilience. You spend one night in Guangzhou, one night in Shanghai, one night in Beijing, then you fly to Manila for a meeting a whole week, and you bounce back. That is resilience. Resilience is about building capacity. It doesn't happen suddenly. You've got to build capacity to bounce back, to have resilience, all right? So this comes from building capacity. It is an inner strength. An inner strength, this is allowing the Word of God to operate in our lives, the power of the Word operating in our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Okay, let's break this down and remind ourselves of the few basic things. Number one, we need to know we are spirit beings. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We are all spirit beings that has a personality, a soul, that dwells in a physical body. So we must first build our spiritual capacity. If you need to, a priority is your spiritual capacity, not your physical capacity. Because the Bible says very clearly, physical exercise benefits a little, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I mean, I comfort myself. I'm maybe getting old, lazy to go to the gym. Physical exercise benefits a little. Godliness, all right, benefits a lot more. The longevity of your life is not dependent on your genes alone, or the number of hours you exercise, or the diet you have. Okay? Many people think, oh, by doing that, you live a long life. A lot of people who have heart attack, people who run the marathon and whatever, I mean, they collapse. If our dependency is on the Mediterranean diet or the five greens juices or whatever, wrong. Our confidence must be in the Lord. And therefore, the first priority is to build our spiritual capacity. And in our spirit man, which all of us must recognize, comprise three functions. Okay? You're given a deliberately given a handout. I hope you've been taking notes and file it away so that over the years you grow as the church grows. All right. This is recapping. How do you remember these three functions? RCD. That's how you got the RCA, the radio television station from New York City, RCA, right? So RCD, remember. So R is your relationship with God, C is your conscience, D is discernment. Okay? RCD, remember. The three functions of your spirit. So when you strengthen these three functions, you will strengthen your spirit man. You will strengthen your spiritual capacity. So let's look at the first one, relationship with God. We strengthen your relationship with God through these three spiritual disciplines. First one is your word intake. How do you partake the word of God? We've learned from the navigators, the word hand. That's it, we modify one of them. You hear the word of God, which you are doing now. So every week, come to church. All right? If during the week you miss it, you travel, listen to it on the web. Download it to your phone or whatever and listen to it in the car, on the MRT train, in the bus, all right, or when you fly. Hear the word of God. Read the word of God. Set a goal. I just finished this batch of Tung Ling. Challenge them. Now your honeymoon is over. You're back from the mountain to the valley. You just had a 3-month church camp. Now you're back to the valley, the realities where the rubber hits the road. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Study doesn't mean you've got to go to your theological school. Study means ask questions. Find out. Investigate. Reflect. Alright? Study. And the fourth one is memorize, or in our terminology, we use the phrase remember. It may begin with memorization. But remember what? Remember the truth and the principle of that verse and the passage. And then say it in your own words as lastly you meditate. If you can say it in your own words, but remember you can go NIV version, King James version, MacArthur's version, or Maxwell version, your version, Buckley's version, Jerry's version, Francis version. Do it in your own version of the underlying principle, the underlying truth. And when you can say it in your own words, you got it inside you. Okay? So word intake. So in BBTC as a church, we say that minimally you should have word intake in formal groups at least twice. The worship service, you hear the pulpit, and in your cell groups. And then on a day-to-day basis, alright, at least 4 other days out of the 7 days, we lower the bar, alright, Monday and Tuesdays, alright, read the Word of God. Wednesday, you have your cell group meeting. Thursday and Friday, you read the Word of God. Saturday, you got cell group meet, you attend another activity in the church, and Sunday, you're in church. So generally, from Monday to Sundays, we have some form of intake of the Word. Alright, ideally, if you can do it all the time, that's great. Secondly, prayer connect. Talk to God. Learn to talk to God all the time. Early on, 3 months ago, I was struggling about this flight, which I'm going to do at the end of October, which is to go to Zimbabwe. All right, and because it's a super long flight, I've got to fly from here to Hong Kong, Hong Kong to Johannesburg, and Johannesburg to Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. And it's because of the nature of the flights and you book and the hours and the transit. But I finally selected this combination and back in the same combination, knowing that it's the best combination, trusting in the Lord, okay, that He drew my attention. So in the last 3 days, I'm now figuring out my flight next March, going to 2 places called Senegal and Gabon. And this guy wants me to go to everything via Togo. I mean, fly to Togo, go to Gabon, Senegal, and then back to Togo, and then fly back. And then it's, number one, it's too long, okay? Number two, there's potentially a problem with the visa in Togo. But Togo, when I go, he has already applied, it's exactly 7 days. The day I arrive is the first day. And this whole thing is going to take about 9 days or 10 days. And the last time, they kept my passport for almost 36 hours. So he says, no, he knows the immigration guy. Do I trust him? I trust him, but I don't trust him. If you know what I mean. I trust him, but I don't trust the system. Alright, so I asked him, are you sure? Okay, oh no, we have a name of someone in the immigration office. And my gut feel, and this is from prayer, alright, of course I didn't tell him I don't trust you, alright. I said we're taking unnecessary risks because I'm arriving on a Sunday, Monday we're flying off to Gabon. So I said, Lord, you got to show me a way out here. Look at the whole long story short. A very short impression, fly off from Senegal on the last day. Don't go back to Togo, okay? Which means that I need to arrange a ticket that is, what you call it, open leg. I fly from Singapore via Bangkok, Addis Ababa to Togo. That's first leg. Then the in-between he settled, alright, to Gabon and Gabon to Senegal. And then I was looking for a flight from Senegal all the way back to Singapore. So there was various flights. One is through Turkish Airlines. That's not bad, go through Istanbul as a transit, but it's a good long 7-8 hours transit, alright? Then I left it, then that was Thursday, then Friday. Yesterday, Saturday, alright? I was looking, there was another flight on Emirates from Senegal to Dubai, Dubai to Singapore. From almost a 30-hour flight cut down to within 19 hours, 18 hours. I said, bingo, quickly text him. Normally, I would just email, take time. I text him, I said, by the time he wake up, he will see the text. I said, brother, I'm going to arrange it this way. I will arrange on Ethiopian to Togo, but I'm going to fly out from Senegal back on Emirates. Is it okay with you? Alright, first thing in the morning, he woke up, which he's 8 hours away, Togo from Singapore, alright, which is our afternoon. By the time he wake up, 6 o'clock in the morning, he texts, brother, looks good, go ahead. Alright, immediately, I spent the whole of yesterday afternoon, alright, figuring out the flights and booking the flights. How? Prayer connect. You do all you can, you pray, we have the peace of God, and I need to hit it, because if I don't hit it, you know these flights, cheap flights from Singapore, this and that. One moment it appears, next moment it disappears. Each time you refresh, it changes. Alright? Not like you buy your big tickets. The altar of thanksgiving, praise and worship. We need to develop gratefulness in thanksgiving. We need to expand our praise vocabulary and learn to praise God. And we need to learn to surrender in worship, which we have been talking about. Secondly, our conscience. Our conscience is increasingly sensitized as we walk in obedience. Romans 9:1, my conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. Our conscience is in our spirit, as Romans 9:1 tells us. And at all times, 1 Timothy 1:19, we must have faith and a good conscience. They are both sides of the same coin. If we don't have a good conscience, that means we have a bad conscience, we have a guilty conscience, we have an evil conscience, our faith leaks like a ship that is shipwrecked. When the ship is shipwrecked, the ship cannot sail. What is the solution to a guilty conscience? 1 John 1:9. The solution to a guilty conscience is by the blood. There's nothing we can do to earn a good conscience. Our conscience has to be cleansed by the blood. 1 John 1:9. So, this is important to have a conscience that is sensitized to the Holy Spirit because it affects the whole realm of day-to-day decision-making. Day-to-day guidance. Day-to-day knowing the will of God. I mean, like this flight I just talked about. Day-to-day, this whole aspect about hearing God is in our inward witness. We must become increasingly familiar, and as we are familiar with the Holy Spirit, we gain confidence. A conscience sensitized to Him. And this relates to this third part. We must sharpen our discernment. Hebrews 5:14, solid food belongs to those who are mature, so we need to partake the word, not of milk, bread, and meat, solid food. All right, and then constantly exercise discernment. Another word for discernment is to sense. Another word to sense is to perceive. Another word is to be intuitive. So to discern, to sense, to perceive, to be intuitive. What do we sense and perceive and be intuitive about? Both good and evil. Meaning the mixture in the middle. God is good, the devil is evil. That's a no-brainer. God blesses us, the devil curses us. That is a no-brainer. In God there is light, the devil is darkness. That is a no-brainer. We don't discern that. That is obvious. We discern the mixture. The mixture, therefore, we ask the question, what is of God? What is not of God? What is of God? Good. And what is not of God? Everything that is not of God is not good. Then you break that one up. Everything that is not of God, whatever is from the devil, and whatever that is from man, that is from the flesh. Only what is from man that is aligned with God is that which is good. So you learn to differentiate. You learn to discern. And over the years, in our day-to-day life, in our business, all right, with believers who talk Christian lingo and so forth, we learn to discern. Is this of God? Is this not of God? For example, this whole building that we built, I mean, we went through the last 10, 11 years. So all the question in my mind, in the mind of the elders, all the time, at the point of time, is this of God? Is this not of God? And then all the arguments and the discussion and the heated discussion, is this of God, not of God? How do we know? Solid food. We need to go back to the word. So wisdom, for example, in James 3 tells us, if it is of God, it is pure. It is peaceable. We are willing to yield. So if there's a member in the team who is stubborn, or who wants to resign and who wants to bang table, we know this person is not of God. I mean, that opinion, that decision is not of God. You judge it by its fruit. You differentiate and discern it by its fruit. Secondly, our soul is our personality. It must be changed to build resilience. All right, you remember this easily by this acronym MEW, M-E-W. Spirit is R-C-D, soul is M-E-W. Our mind, our emotions, and our will. Our minds must be continually renewed. This will build our mental capacity. For all who are senior citizens, meaning all those who are 55 and above, one of the ways to stay sharp, I know for older people, I was talking to one lady the other day, every Sunday she plays mahjong with her 94-year-old grandmother. Mahjong is very good. It keeps them sharp. Alright? I say, play with money, you know? Yeah, play with money. Because no money, don't care, alright? You play with money, every 5 cents, 10 cents, it matters. You keep the mind sharp. But there's another better way. Scripture memory. The Word of God. I did this with my father about 2 months back, before I left. I literally gave him homework. I said, can you write out? He's got a Bible given to him. Write out Psalms 27 verse 1. So he wrote out, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So he wrote very slowly. I said, do you understand or not? Okay, so I explained, light. I said, light is more powerful than darkness. What is darkness? The absence of light. Because when my mom first passed away about 2-3 months ago, all right, he reverted back to his old ways, superstition, this, that, and the other, invert all the photographs in the house, all right, nothing red, nothing bright and yellow. We said, no, 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 mom has gone to be with the Lord. You know the Lord, right? Jesus is your Savior, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then everything changed. Then he, very fast, within seconds, he make up his mind. Is there any fear? No. The maid also scared to go back upstairs. No. Then we say, let's pray again. And I told the maid homework, make sure he does it, okay? Every day he write. So I give a whole long list, one day, one verse, alright? And when I walk him to the park, the Lord is my light and my salvation. This will keep his mind active. He's 92 years old, and this will keep him going, our mental capacity. What is the opposite of having and building our mental capacity? Double-mindedness. James 1:8 says, when a person is double-minded, you'll be unstable in all your ways. Double-mindedness, which is what I was in my 20s and my 30s and my earlier banking days, in my earlier walk with the Lord. One leg with God, but one leg also with the world. One leg trusting in God, but also trusting in myself, trusting in my finances, trusting in my ability, trusting in my charm, in my marketing, in my sales, in my politicking. Alright? That's how we grow. Until you go through all that we have learned about brokenness. Brokenness is to die to your self-life. And the other opposite of building mental capacity is when our minds are confused. Our minds must be clear. Momentarily, we may be jolted, but subsequently, we need to clarify the thoughts. 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7 says, be clear-minded so that you can pray. When you are able to craft the question, you know half the answer already. When you are unable to articulate a question, you're confused, you're not clear. So we must spend time to have clarity of thoughts. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. Similarly, for young people who are studying in SMU, NTU, NUS, and so forth for studies, one of the good ways is ask the Lord to clear your mind. Instead of spending 20 hours on that module, Lord, you want to shorten it to 10 hours or 8 hours. Lord, would you strengthen my mental capacity? It's got to do with capacity. Some people can't cope. They think they can multitask, do 7 things at one go. You can't. Okay? Maybe 2 or 3. So you need to know your capacity. Capacity is engine. A 500cc car and a 5000cc car will still go up Benjamin Shears Bridge, up the slope. But for a 500cc car, it's a great struggle. It's using 99% of the capacity to finally make it to the top. You still make it to the top, but you're still exerting a lot of energy. But for a 5000cc car, it's a breeze. You're only utilizing maybe 10-15% of your total capacity. In fact, I was talking to a young man the other day, referring to what one of the young adults we were talking about. Very tired, very exhausted in work, very drained. Alright? And I was just commenting, why is the person in this state? It's because of capacity. It's not about right or wrong. It's just the capacity of the person. The mental capacity, the emotional capacity to cope, alright, with the stress. And therefore, for this other person, he's a breeze. The capacity is totally different. So, self-awareness is very important. Don't compare, because you are not the other person. You need to have self-awareness of your own capacity. Alright, build your mental capacity. And then secondly, build your emotional tank. Our emotions must be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you get angry, sometimes you get frustrated, sometimes you get mangtang or whatever. Tell the Holy Spirit. Alright? And what do we need to do? Tell the Holy Spirit. Now, we all face SAF every day. Alright? BBTC, you know what's SAF. Stress, anxieties, and fears. Stress, anxieties, and fears will suck out all the energy you have. And when you are drained, you are not much good to other people. Don't even talk about much good to yourself. I got a very short video clip that talks about dealing with stress, anxieties, and fears, and learning to lay it aside. All right. Of course, this is a secular video. Watch it, and I'll talk about it. Casting your cares to the Lord. Of course, this woman does say, remember to put down your glass of water, but she did not show how. I mean, this is of course a physical illustration. But for us believers, we know how. Stress. What is the solution to stress? The strength of the Lord. The Lord will give us strength to cope with stress. Alright? I can do all things through Christ. Okay, copy down these scripture references. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. Okay? So where do we find strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where do we find the joy of the Lord? In His presence is fullness of joy. Psalms 16:11. How do you enter His presence? We enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with. Therefore, the solution to stress is build your altar of thanksgiving, praise and worship. What is the solution to worries, anxieties? The solution to worries, anxieties is the peace of God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. So tell God your worries. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. You tell Him until His peace guards your heart and your mind. But that is only level 1 peace. We must move on to level 2 peace. Colossians 3:15. Level 2 peace is Colossians 3:15, where the peace of Christ rule our hearts and minds. The peace of Christ rule. The word rule is referee. It helps us decide whether this matter is worth worrying about. If not, chuck it out. But there's even a more kiasu level 3 peace, which is 2 Thessalonians 3:16. This is the Singaporean prayer. Lord, may you grant me, the Lord of peace, grant me peace at all times, in all ways, in all circumstances, in all situations. You're always enveloped and surrounded by the peace of God. Stress, anxiety, and fears. What is the solution to fear? We sang the song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. The solution to fear is to be perfected in the Father's love. 1 John 4:18. To be perfected means to be complete. That means connect with the Father God. And as you learn from this pulpit, keep on receiving, keep on experiencing the love of the Father. You know the song that we sing, what can separate us from the love of God? Enjoy that and tell God, Father, I will not be separated from your love. May your love always fill my heart and may it help me to experience that you're here with me, never leaving me and forsaking me. Top up your emotional tank. Continuously through the day, day by day. Don't leave it empty. Half empty, quarter empty. Do things that you enjoy. Have a cup of coffee. Have a conversation with somebody. Go for a walk. Do things that you enjoy to top up your emotional tank. And in BBDC, never walk alone. Never walk alone. Never walk alone. If you're a man, find a brother. A band of brothers. If you're a lady, find your sisters. If you're married, build your strong marriage. Alright? Then our wills must be increasingly aligned with Father God. How do we make decisions? These three must align. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom. You've learned that also. Knowledge is to gather the facts. Understanding means ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, can you unpack it for me? Holy Spirit, can you give me clarity? Holy Spirit, can you help me to be aware of the pros and the cons, the risks and the rewards, the advantages and the disadvantages? Now you want to remortgage your house. Alright? You want to shop around for the best rates. Okay? But what are all the other hidden costs? What is involved? So ask the Holy Spirit to bring you clarity and understanding of all that is involved. And finally, wisdom is to know how to apply the knowledge and the understanding. Okay? So we move from being efficient. Efficient is to do things right. To being effective, to do the right things. To being efficacious, efficacy. Efficacy is to do right things in the right ways, at the right time, with the right motives, with the right results, and it's a win-win-win situation. And everybody is blessed. This is God's economy, not the world's economy. The world's economy, I win, you lose. You win, I lose. No, that's a very selfish world economy. But God's economy is, I win, you also win. You win, I also win. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. This is the kingdom of God. This is where God wants us. And if we keep on doing these things, we will finish well. We will have a good ending. Lastly, in our body, we remember the three functions of our body. And the acronym is RED, R-E-D. We need to have sufficient rest. I was talking to some young people, every day you think you're a superhero. Get up at 6 a.m., go to work by 7:30, come back at 7:30, every night go out, social with your friends, with drinks, chill out and all that. Come back home at 10:30, go to bed and work on your computer, laptop, go to bed at 1 a.m. Every day sleep for 5 hours, you think you're a superwoman, superman, you will crash. Sure, come Saturday, Sunday, crash. Every 3 weeks, every month, fall sick. Why? Because you don't have strong immunity. What do you eat most of the time? Eat out, hawker center. Eat all the white carbo, all the prata, all the white bread, all the sugar laden, all the junk food. Your teens and your 20s, you're superman, superwoman. These things take time. By the time you are late 30s, 40s, the guy came to me, I don't know, I have this called stress headache. I said, do you drink enough water? Drink water. I get every pastoral staff to have a bottle of water. Every pastoral meeting, they come, they put the phone on the table and the water or bottle. Or Chinese tea or whatever. Drink, 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 drink. The effects come 10, 15, 30 years later. take care of our bodies. Sufficient rest, sufficient exercise, sufficient good diet. All right, in summary, everybody read for me. Number one. One, two, go. Louder. Amen. Okay, next, resilience. Number one. Some of us will say this sounds so easy. I'm very aware that in life, some of us go through pains, we go through injuries. I want to show you a short video clip of the 1968 Olympics of a Tanzanian marathon runner. Somewhere at the 17 kilometers, marathon is 42 kilometers. There was a jostling and he was injured. He dislocated his knee, all right, and he sustained injury to his knee, his calf muscle, shin muscle. He was bandaged and he continued on the race. The video, please.
This is the final award ceremony in track and field at the Mexico City Olympics. And to but three men go the rewards. And so for them, the long ordeal is over. But what about the others? For some, the reward is a personal one. The knowledge that they finished what they set out to do. A little over an hour after Mama Walde crosses the finish line, John Stephen Akwari of Tanzania approaches the stadium, the last man to complete the journey. A voice calls from within to go on, and so he goes on. Afterwards, it was written, "Today we have seen a young African runner who symbolizes the finest in the human spirit. A performance that gives true dignity to sport. A performance that lifts sport out of the category of grown men playing at games. A performance that gives meaning to the word courage. All honor to John Stephen Akwari of Tanzania." Perhaps the words of John Stephen Akwari epitomize all that is right in the human spirit. When asked why he did not quit, he said simply, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race."
I'd already heard the last part. He said, "Why do you persevere to finish it? You could have just rested. My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. My country sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." God did not save you and me just to have a passport to go to heaven. God did not save you and me just to have a good time, to be blessed in church, to enjoy worship, and to live our lives any way we choose and any way we want. God loved us. He chose us, He saved us for a purpose. And the purpose is to delight in God, to know Him. But for some of us, we are injured, like this marathon runner. For some of us, we are hurt. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27, and with this I'm going to end. And that's going to focus on the last part. He said, "I run not with uncertainty. I fight not as one who beats the air. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest if I preach to others, I become disqualified. I falter, I fall." We must be intentional to start paying attention now. Don't give up. Some of us are discouraged. We say, "I'll never change this, that, and the other." Whether it's your personal life, your marriage, your family, your finances, your bad habits. No, we can all change. We got the Word of God, and we got the Holy Spirit. Let's stand as we close in prayer. So, Father, we thank you for your Word. I know it's just past 10:30. That's another 5 minutes more. I want you to just stand there in the presence of God and reflect and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you draw my attention to a couple of areas in my life I must pay attention now? And in this couple of areas, they may potentially derail me. They may potentially stumble me so bad that I will not finish well. That at this point of time, when I hear your word so clearly, Lord, Lord, would you be merciful to me? Lord, would you be gracious to me? Lord, would you give me the handles? Give me an awareness, an understanding of these two or three areas in my life. I must begin to pay attention. I must begin to work on it. Develop that restedness to live the Christ life. Develop that resilience, that capacity to bounce back. And not walk through life limping like this marathon runner. Not walk through life wounded, hurt, dejected, but be strong. Would you talk to the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to show you and help you? We're going to worship the Lord. And this song is about princes and paupers, sons and daughters. At the end of it all, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. At the end of all, what matters is how, what will the Lord say of the life we live? What will the Lord say whether we will have a good ending, whether we finish well? At the end of the day, we are all going to be before the Lord. And as we worship the Lord, the one most important thing, we have to go back to Jesus. We have to go back to Jesus. We have to go back to God who loves us. He loves us. There is no condemnation in this message, but there is the love of God drawing each one of us. In our own strength, we will fail. But with the Lord's love, He will help us. Let's worship the Lord.
Sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of praise.
If the Lord speaks to you in prayer, would you just come?
Losers and winners,
and if you're led to build your own altar, just come.
Sinners, one day we'll see.
Summer and winter.
Let's sing summer and winter.
Summer and winter, the mountains and the rivers whisper the same thing. Awesome and holy, a friend to the lonely, forever His love. The light of the world.
Coming in and my going out. Lord, today I've heard your word. You have asked me to pay attention to certain areas in my life, to begin to work towards a good ending, to living my life pleasing to you, glorifying you. You know the pains. You know the frustrations. You know the hurts. You know the disappointments. And many of these other things in my life. And I thank you that your posture to me is a posture of mercy. Is a posture of pity. Is a posture of grace. Lord, draw my heart to you. Draw my heart to you to worship you, Lord. And to realign my life, to want to live my life and give my life to you, to live it for your glory, to make a difference for your glory. Lord, continue to speak to me. Give me the strength to make the adjustments now and not procrastinate. Help me be a doer of your word. As I commit my life to you who can keep me from falling, and present me faultless, but with great joy on that glorious day. So I consecrate my life and present it to you now, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. I give you thanks. I give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give praise. Yes.